This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Eric Barfell. We are talking about Barabbas today, because he's an interesting character. They don't really say a ton about him. He just shows up in the crucifixion accounts. Yep. And we're here in Lent, actually, so that's why we're talking about this. And
what day
we're
in the
season
on
40 days. 20... I don't know. It's 2 weeks. Two weeks from tomorrow. I mean, not when you hear this podcast, but as far as our doing the podcast, today is the 14th, so tomorrow's the 15th. So from the 15th, so another 2 weeks has gone. So yeah, day 25.
Okay, because I was a day ahead on my reading. I might have gotten 2 days ahead, and I think I fell back a day. So like, I've been off the whole time. I don't know if I'm plus one or minus one. No idea.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Give or take, I'm plus one or minus one.
I've actually been pretty good on mine this year.
That's good.
Because inevitably, and it will be on a Saturday because that's just, or a Sunday because that's just a different routine than Monday through Friday. Inevitably, I will fall back a day or so.
Right. So I'm trying to keep ahead. Not the other, the 40 days of seeking God Bible study is super easy to keep up with. If you do get a few days behind, it's easy to catch up. My regular Bible reading is a different story because that's reading the Bible through in a year. Yes. So it's been great. I enjoy doing that. What did you give up? You gave up the social media, right?
Yeah, a lot of my phone from like, I think it's like 7:30 p.m. to about 7:30 a.m. My phone kind of shuts down.
How's that going?
Good. I mean, it's set on my phone where it like kind of does it for me.
Right.
It's really nice. And then I've deleted Instagram from my phone. I have to get back on it, but like once I'm done with it, I delete the app. So like when I go to bed, I delete the app.
Okay.
So, like, I don't wake up and it's a temptation and I just scroll endlessly.
Do you reinstall it every day? Like,
not every day, but when I, like, need to post something stay up with the youth, more so for the youth group page than my personal page. But
no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you just in that 12 hours, you want to stay away from it. And that makes sense. Yeah, I'm bread and pizza. It doesn't seem that hard because some days I'll eat soup or I'll eat, you know, Jero, make me a smoothie or something like that. I have thought about it a lot of times because then I see the grilled cheese is getting passed out or, hey, do you want to stop here for a sandwich? And you realize, oh, I can't.
So let me ask you good. This.
I think it's great to make the sacrifice.
Let me ask you this. Does that include like pancakes kind of stuff?
No, I didn't. Well, you can do, honestly, I think when you're doing it, you can do whatever you want to do. I didn't rule out pancakes. We got the pancake breakfast down at Rock Creek Fire Hall. So I supported them a couple Sundays. I don't eat a lot of pancakes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it only come up one day a week anyway. It's just more the bread, the pizza, Entenmann's, Danishes, donuts, any of that kind of stuff. Anything like anything of that kind of thing, bready, I'm not eating. Gotcha. If it looks like bready stuff to me, then I'm just not going to eat it. So if they had sausage and gravy and biscuits, I'm not eating the biscuits in the morning. So and there's been, you know, one morning I was kind of hungry at the men's Bible study on a Tuesday morning because it was biscuits and stuff. It's okay. You know, I just don't.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the sacrifice. And I think that we should make a sacrifice. And I think it's great. Absolutely. And I like the fast days. I can't believe we're going to do three more. We've already been through three of them. And I think those are good, too, just to remind ourselves to hunger. You know, hey, hunger for the Lord. Hunger and think about the things you should be praying about. Just be the sincerity.
Not
of
my
it.
Favorite spiritual it. Discipline. Let me tell you, I get it. They're powerful. They're great. But my goodness, it's like, I'm getting pretty hungry by the end there.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I think about everything Christ went through and what he sacrificed. And in Matthew, I want to read some verses here. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. So that's interesting. So they're going to release a prisoner. The crowd chooses. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. That was kind of interesting. Same name as Jesus, right? So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. And what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. And you think about that story, and the interesting thing about Barabbas, I think about him being the first man saved by Jesus' death. Right? Because he was going to be on that cross.
Yeah.
He was, that day, as far as we know, he would have been going to the cross. And true. He would have been on the center cross instead of Jesus.
Speaking of substitute.
Right.
I mean, that's it right there.
Right. So it is a part of substitutionary atonement. Actually, I was reading one article. I think it was Christianity Today. And they were saying, but my favorite example is Barabbas. At one level, he is a simple story of exchange. Barabbas is due to die for his sins, and he deserves to. Yet without doing anything to merit mercy, he discovers that Jesus is going to die instead. Having awoken on Friday morning, expecting nothing but a slow, horrible death, by evening, he is home with his family to celebrate the Sabbath. We're clearly intended to see ourselves in this man, destined for death, but finding freedom in life through the death of another. I think that's a great analogy.
Absolutely.
Right? He was clearly, Barabbas was slated to be executed. He's not executed because Jesus Christ took his place. By example, one of the great things Jesus Christ did to me was he took the death, the eternal death, the separation from God that I deserved, and he paid for that, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, and that's what I've always heard, and like I fully like grasp this concept, the whole like it should be me on that cross. Yes, because I have sin. I get it. And then I read this or hear it in this light, it's like literally in Barabbas's case, it should have been him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Obviously, yeah, well, I'm not living in the same time as Jesus. So it's like, yeah, it should have been me. It more than the, like, yes, literal, but also like hypothetical kind of thing. But then I read that, I hear that, I'm like, wow,
he's the one guy. I mean, and he saved them physically, but the criminal on the cross is the first saved spiritually. So the first one saved spiritually was the one who died on the cross because next to Jesus Christ. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, today you'll see me in paradise. So that faith that one criminal expressed, that as far as we know, Barabbas did not. Now, he may have, but I'm saying it never says anything. As far as we know, he never expressed faith in Jesus Christ. So he got physical life because of the physical death of Jesus. We get spiritual life because of the spiritual death of Jesus. So if Barabbas was one who put his faith in Jesus, then he'd have eternal life. So he got a short-term stay of execution in some ways, but we all have to stand before God someday.
Yeah, definitely.
So every one of us is going to be in this position of a Pilate at the judgment seat, and we're all going to be before it, except instead of Pilate at the judgment seat, it's going to be Christ for Christians. If you're not a believer, then it'll be God at the great white throne, God the Father. So, but someday we're all going to stand before God one way or another. So I look at that and say, yeah, Jesus Christ died so that when I do stand before God someday, I have a way into heaven. It's because he died on the cross for my sins. So he died for my salvation, which I think is an absolutely beautiful thing.
Yeah, that is interesting.
What do you think about Barabbas being the leader that they would prefer?
I mean, yeah, that's...
What's that?
That's messed up, I guess, but pretty bizarre.
Well, the thing is, he's the guy they want because that is the guy, like they're actually wanting somebody to overthrow Rome. So when you think about what he's dying for, they're both men are pinned. They pin insurrection on Jesus Christ because he is the king of the Jews. So that's a threat to the Roman Empire. And that's one of the things they're trying to accuse him of in front of Pilate and saying, hey, he claimed to be a king. He's causing insurrection. Barabbas actually did it. He was actually an insurrectionist. People got killed in that rebellion that he was leading. But that's what they wanted. They actually wanted a leader to come in and throw off Rome. And I really do believe that they were disappointed that Jesus Christ was not coming to get rid of Rome. They could only think of the short term. Hey, get Rome out of here, overthrow, Messiah set up his kingdom. We don't have to pay attention or pay taxes to Rome anymore. We're going to boot him out. That's really what they wanted.
Yeah.
So Barabbas was way more the kind of leader they wanted than Jesus Christ was.
Yeah. Huh. Well, no, and that, I don't know. That's kind of like the danger of like crowd think.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you just join the crowd and you just start shouting whatever they're shouting. Well, you don't always get what's right. You don't always get the best option. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the importance of like knowing what you believe.
Right.
Standing up for what you believe. Actually doing discernment, knowing what's right, actually doing what's right. So, I mean, I can't help but address that as well, like the crowd think aspect of it. It's like, you guys are just shouting louder and louder to get your way. Like,
right. And they literally wanted, Barabbas. Are you sure you want Barabbas? You don't want Jesus Christ worked miracles. Jesus Christ healed the blind. He healed lepers. It's a travesty, truly, that they put a miracle worker like that on the cross. It's a disaster. But their motives were jealousy. When you think about the true motives of the leaders, Pilate knew that it was self-interest. It says in two versions I read, self-interest. Hmm. The religious leaders were just, they were not really caring about Jesus Christ being an insurrectionist because they want Barabbas. Barabbas is already guilty of doing that stuff. So they're claiming that, oh, Jesus, he's claiming to be a king. We should get rid of him. He's an insurrectionist. While at the this is the hypocrisy of getting into this faulty thinking. And sometimes you just can't sustain your own thinking. But they're actually calling out a known insurrectionist and wanting him free. Well, tell me that makes sense.
No, it exactly. And that's the thing. It does not. And, yeah, they freed this dude. That's crazy. That is, I don't know, What a twist. I mean, even Pilate, like, doesn't feel good about it.
Right.
And that's the other thing. Like, their own ruler is like, oh, he's not feeling good about it. His wife's not feeling good about it.
Right.
And again, crowd think.
Well, I think that Pilate was definitely influenced by the crowd because he was trying to let Jesus Christ go the entire time. I mean, clearly, and he washes his hands of the whole thing. I still think that Pilate's responsible before God for what he did. Because no matter what, you can't allow other people to do your thinking for you. Mm-hmm. So when the crowd's doing Pilate's thinking for him, he gives in. He's still responsible because he still made the decision. And that's what I've told my wife this. I've told others this. Well, this person did that because of, you know, this other person. Right. Or what this other person said. Let me tell you something. Everyone makes their own decisions. Everyone has the ability to think through a situation. And what you decide is what you decide, period. You know what I'm saying? You can talk about influence. You can talk about that kind of stuff, but we're all responsible for what we decide, regardless of what the influence is. But I look at the true motives, and you look at Jesus Christ. I mean, he can do everything right, and he does. And Jesus Christ is the one actually with pure motives. Christ is actually the one here who really wants to do the right thing. He wants the salvation of people. He wants people healed. He's praying for people. He's feeding people. He's doing all this great work.
Yeah.
And yet he still encounters people who can't stand him for it. And because he didn't cater enough to them. I mean, that's really what it came down to. He just came in with his own authority. He didn't come through the avenues of the Pharisees. They didn't really care for it. They were jealous of all the power that he had. They were jealous of his popularity. Instead of getting on board and saying, hey, Jesus Christ is really doing a great work, because he wasn't saying what they wanted him to say.
Right, right.
He was a bad dude.
Yeah. It is frustrating to read because it is fraudulent, you know? It's just like, man, every time I read the story, it's like, dude, this is kind of hurts.
Right.
Like that true injustice right there. Yeah.
It makes Christ relatable too. I mean, he's rejected by the people. Mm-hmm. He does everything right. He gets treated like dirt. And then choices, I think, you know, we all have choices to make, like I was just alluding to, and they have the choice between Jesus or Barabbas. And we've got to ask, you know, who would we rather choose? Who would we rather have? Like, what kind of leader do I really want? Do I want the leader who's going to tell me the truth, or I want the leader who's going to tell me what I want to hear? Like, what kind of leader do you really want to follow? Obviously, there's a clear choice laid out. Christ, Barabbas. Right.
Yeah.
They clearly made a choice, Barabbas. Mm-hmm. Right? That was their choice. They're responsible for their choices. And I really believe that all of us have that choice at times. You know, are we going to follow God? Are we going to follow our friends?
The world.
Are we going to follow Christ? Are we going to follow the world? Yeah. What's the choice? What are we going to do when it comes to that clear choice? What do we want? And then you got to decide, okay, well, if you're going to deny Christ or you're going to walk away from Christ, then what, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be yelling, crucify him?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right? Because I think of, well, 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about the end days. And it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great multitude of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Hmm. It's kind of like, that's what they want. They want to hear what they want to hear. I was listening to a song. It was by Simon and Garfunkel. I believe it's called The Boxer. And one of the lines in the song is, still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And I really think that's so true in the day of Jesus Christ. Like, they only heard what they wanted to hear, and they disregarded everything else. They disregard Christ's teaching. They disregard John the Baptist. Yep. They disregard the miracles. They disregard everything and only hear what they want to hear. And when Jesus Christ says, that someday you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father in the clouds of glory. They tear the robes and they want to kill him because that's blasphemy to them instead of, no, that's truth. Mm-hmm. Like that's the truth that Christ is giving you, and they want to kill him for it. But again, everyone hears what they want to hear when it comes down to it. And I think that's something that we've got to be careful of. Crowd, Pilate, everyone being influenced by the voices of others. Well, what voice do you want to hear? Like, what do you really want to believe? Because you're going to tend to go that way, I think.
And yeah, no, and unfortunately, I've seen this far too many times. And a lot of times it's people do it in a way to justify their sins, justify their actions, or they're choosing what they know is wrong, but they want to continue on in it.
Right.
So they justify it.
Right.
And you're exactly right. They choose what they want to hear. They don't always hear what they need to hear, the truth, what's going to bring them back. And, I mean, it could be their best friend, like, hey, like, point them back to Christ. We talked about this a little bit last night in youth group, just, like, the power of, like, relationships. And sometimes, honestly, sometimes when you have a relationship where you can speak truth into someone and they, like, start shutting that down.
Right.
Red flag, because you know they're doing this to justify, to shut out truth in any outlet that it's coming in order to justify their sinful lifestyle, from what I've seen.
It's almost like a blindness.
Yeah.
For them, for sure. I mean, in Isaiah.
But like choosing it, though.
Yeah, but Isaiah was talking about them being, you know, ears that can't hear, eyes that can't see.
Sure.
Christ referenced it. There's some type of way, honestly, like they're so blind to what the truth is. Even they're even going to argue about the sign that Pilate put up. King of the Jews, Jesus, King of the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no. Change the sign to he just said it. He just said he was. He's not really. He just said he was. He just claimed it. He not really. And Pilate's like, what I've written, I've written. But even that, they're trying to like just finagle it and change it and whatnot. But I believe there are times, because it says in the Bible, sin is deceitful. Mm-hmm. Jealousy is one of their sins. Jealousy can be one of those sins that's deceitful. And when I think of deceitful, there's that blinding aspect to it where you would think from the outside, when you look at it, or you look at somebody in addiction or alcoholism, pornography, any kind of thing somebody can get caught up in, it's easy for you to see it. For them, they're making every excuse in the book.
Right.
Why it's okay. And I've actually been there in my life too on certain things where it just took God waking me up to certain things. And then when you see it, you're like, well, what in the world was I thinking? Like, how do you justify these things? Like there's no justification for it actually. Mm-hmm. But in your own mind, somehow you're sweet talking yourself. Well, in my case, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Or is not that, that bad. It's not.
Cause on the flip side is like people in that case have to take accountability for their actions.
Right.
And again, when you don't want to do that, you start blocking where the truth is coming in from in order to justify your sinful behavior, lifestyle, et cetera, right? So it's like, you're going to start blocking stuff out and you're not going to see it in the normal light. You're not going to hear it in the normal.
Paul called it warped. He calls something and it's just warped. Like it doesn't even make sense. It's not it's not even a straight line of consistent thinking. It's just, this is what it is. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I mean, I think it's something we got to pray about, you know, pray that our eyes are open to Christ and what Christ wants us to do. But the shouts of crucify him have always been haunting to me, that you've got this whole crowd of people that a week earlier or roughly a week earlier are chanting, hail him comes, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's the king. He's coming up riding on a donkey. There's people behind him, in front of him. They're throwing down their coats. Now, in such a short time, hero to goat, they're yelling, crucify him. Now, granted, not saying that's the same crowd. I mean, Jerusalem's literally full of people.
Sure.
It's just whoever the crowd was there, highly influenced by the Pharisees, and they're big time to blame here. Yeah, no, crucify him. They're getting the people to chant it. And what a horrible thing to wish on somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about that. How callous that. Are you serious right now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're chanting for anyone to be crucified? You don't even like Rome. You don't even like what they're up to. You throw them off in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden now, because that suits your means, right, or suits your needs,
right.
All of a sudden now crucifixion's cool with you because they're getting rid of Jesus.
Yeah. No, and I am real curious, actually, to know what kind of became of Barabbas, too. Like, you know, did he turn things around? Were his eyes open to it now?
We'll find out someday.
Like, did he? Yeah, right. But it's like, you know, maybe at the same time, it's best we don't know.
I did read about it. I think there are some traditions about him, but I don't know if there's anything solid. I was trying to read about him just Googling it to see if any early historians wrote about him, if anybody commented, but really to like a Josephus or somebody else, it wouldn't have been a big story. I mean, they're probably not even writing a lot about Jesus Christ being crucified. So it's not like it's three guys killed, like nothing new. I mean, Rome crucifying people is nothing super significant. Sure. You're giving up somebody, you know, I don't know that it really played anywhere, you know, what actually happened to the guy, but it is a great question. And I kind of like to know as well, but that's an eternity we can look forward to. But what is your choice? What is your choice? You know, when it comes to Christ, will we follow him? Will we not? What choices are we making? You guys all have a blessed and an awesome week.